Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Do you personally or someone you know struggle with same-sex attraction, the pull toward homosexuality? Well, you want to watch this whole show or call someone and get them to watch this show, because our whole half hour is to talk about how do you help people who have same-sex attraction? I have been stuck with same-sex attraction, and we're going to interview, I'm a Lutheran, but we're going to interview a Catholic priest who works with this area. So I want to introduce Father Jim Livingston.
Nice to meet you, Tom.
Hi, Jim. And Jim, you're a Catholic priest here in Minnesota for how many years?
What is it now? 26 years.
26 years. And you have your ministry, but you also are part of a group called Courage.
Yes.
And tell us what Courage is.
Well, first of all, it's part of the Courage International Apostolate. So it was it's a ministry that originated in the early 1980s. Back in the New York area, to basically walk with and accompany people with same-sex attraction, male and female, and the goal of Courage is to live a chaste life, to live a chaste life, to maintain and strengthen a relationship with Jesus Christ, to offer fellowship and friendship and good example.
So there's little Courage groups all over the country.
There are in many of the dioceses around the country. Now, if I could just put in a little verbal disclaimer or a clarification, in the state of Minnesota, the Courage Apostolate goes by the name of Faith in Action.
Okay.
And that's because Courage is a trademark name has already been used by the good people who do the Courage work. For the physically handicapped.
So you lead a group once a week where it's men or women, depending on where in the country, come together and they pray together. What do they do in these groups?
Within the group, it's a kind of a fellowship group, so that on a weekly basis, people can get together and first of all, start with a prayer, start with a reaffirmation of the goals of Courage, which is what I just described, to live a chaste life, to maintain and strengthen a relationship with Jesus Christ, to provide fellowship and friendship with one another, and to try to give a good example, to reaffirm those goals. And then, basically, it's so simple, to be able to talk about their week, you know, to share whatever struggles they might have had, whatever victories they might have had, to support one another in a very human and very simple way.
Now, sadly, there are some denominations, I'll list them, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and now the Disciples of Christ have, from my point of view, gone very far astray, and they're telling people that as long as it's loving, committed gay sex, it's okay. You're a Roman Catholic, I'm a conservative Christian, we would not agree with that. Do you have people coming to your group who think the behavior is okay?
No, our group is really not a debate society. In order to get into the group, there's no really point in doing that,
right,
unless you're really sold on the idea that the chastity is a goal,
you
know, a virtue to live by, to strive for at least.
What do you say to someone who says, but Father, I never chose this attraction, I just got it somehow, and who in their right mind would choose this? What would you say to that?
Amen, brother. I mean, nobody does choose it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mystery. I think there's some common familial, you know, family almost trademarks that do go along with it.
A distant father, maybe, that kind of thing.
A lot of that, yeah. There are some sort of predictable things, but just understanding that doesn't make it go away,
but it
kind of helps you understand it a little bit. But the fact is that people basically discover it more than choose it. Now, we're not talking about somebody you know, who might go to prison or might spend a lifetime with other, you know, same-sex individuals, and then for whatever reason, you know, have some kind of an experience. We're really talking about people who discover the attraction is within them, and sometimes even from an early age.
And you know, you believe, and I do too, in original sin, that we're all born sinners because of Adam's sin. And isn't it true? Nobody necessarily chooses their temptations in life.
we're born with a certain temperament. We're born with a certain personality, and we seem to be born with certain weaknesses as well.
So we're not. Maybe the thing that the way to put it is, we don't choose our temptations in life, but we do choose what we do with them. You don't have to act on these attractions.
The freedom that we have is our response to what we're to the hand that we're dealt with.
Yeah. And our the Catholic and Protestant churches agree, biblical churches agree, that in the kingdom of God you've got two choices for sex. Number one, heterosexual marriage, or number two, abstinence. There is no third route. So, you know, God asks single heterosexuals to abstain from sex, and he asks people with this struggle. What do you say to people who say, I am a gay Christian? Do you think that's a proper thing to say?
Well, a lot of people understand the term gay. It has a wide coinage, let's say, but it does have a kind of a connotation that in the social realm, in the political realm, in the theological realm, even that that if I'm gay, that I accept sexual activity.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it means.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand if somebody for the sake of shorthand will say I'm a gay Christian to sort of get across the point. You know, that they're a Christian with same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
Same-sex attraction is a little bit more accurate,
and
but it's a little bit more unwieldy.
I mean, Jim, I would never say I'm a gay Christian. What I say is I'm a Christian who struggles with same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I believe we're all heterosexual and things go wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to identify with a sinful lifestyle.
Yeah. It's sort of analogous to in the Catholic Church, sometimes we used to say, well, I'm an American Catholic. Well, what does that mean? You know, well, I'm a Catholic that happens to be an American, and I'm a Catholic or I'm a Christian who happens to have same-sex attraction.
Right.
That would be probably the more accurate way of describing it.
What happens if somebody in your group, well, first of all, let me say this. Yesterday, I got a letter from an email from Texas, a guy that struggles with this, and he wants to know how he can get out of it because he's a Christian and he doesn't want to, it sounds like he's into the behavior. And I said to him, the key is going to be getting some kind of Christian accountability. And, you know, I said, if you're a Catholic, you can go to Courage. If you're a Protestant, you Google Restored Hope Network, and there's Restored Hope Network groups around the country, support groups. But if there is no support group in their area, I told him, find some mature Christian man that you can meet with once a week to pray through this stuff. Because without accountability, I think they're going to lose. Do you agree with that?
You know, we're all social beings,
and
we need the strength that others can supply for us. I mean, there's a reason that Jesus said at the very end, I am with you always, you know, because we need people to walk with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the genius and the simplicity of the Courage program. It's simply a way of walking with the brothers who want somebody to walk with them, you know.
Yeah.
And so accountability is a huge part of it. Another sort of practical way of living through the temptation and overcoming it on a day-by-day basis is kind of a life of service. You know,
find something to do.
Get out of your own skin and look at the lives of other people and roll up your sleeves and walk with other people as well. And that helps. That's a practical thing for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and so the things that we emphasize are really, they're not really that unique. It's just that we apply them to this particular situation.
And I think when we used to have a radio show, I interviewed a couple of your members, if I remember right.
And
I mean, for instance, here was one of your members that was into the lifestyle for most of his life. What was it, 15, 20 years ago, he left the lifestyle, has been going to Courage, has never had those acts in his life since for 20 years. So it is possible.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
What about people who do slip and fall and commit some act they shouldn't? What happens if some, does that happen?
Well, of course. I mean, we're all human, and the best resolutions that we have and best intentions often fall by the wayside. You know, the challenge is to get up again and move forward mm-hmm. again, and which ultimately, you know, reinforces our trust in a merciful and helpful God.
Yeah.
And one another.
And you know, I'm a Lutheran, you're a Catholic, but both of us believe in what's called confession absolution. Why don't you explain how that works with courage?
Well, in our particular groups, we have three priests that help facilitate the groups one a week, and each time the priest is there, and at the end of the group, we have the opportunity for confession.
Mm-hmm.
So on a private basis,
you do that privately, one-on-one.
We do that privately, one-on-one, and whoever wants to can talk with the priest through the sacrament of reconciliation and mm-hmm. confess the reality of sin in their life and receive in that personal way and that very, you know, real human-to-human way. The experience of Christ's redemptive
yeah.
love for all yep. of humanity.
And this comes from James chapter 5, where it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So I think yeah. every Christian, regardless of their denomination, needs a priest, someone
yeah.
that holds them accountable to whom they can confess their sins and hear the words of absolution.
I think it's a very natural human thing to be able mm-hmm. to have people in your life that can help mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Can you tell me, Jim, if somebody's watching this show and maybe they don't struggle with homosexuality, but maybe pornography, or they're heterosexually fornicating or whatever, or any kind of sin, gossip. What have you found with your work with this group? What are some good helps in fighting temptation?
Well, being a person of service, you know, being a person of accountability, calling out and reaching out, you know, if there's a time of temptation, to be able to have a phone number, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's as easy as, well, to, at least to start with, you recognize the portals, you recognize the dangers.
Staying away from...
Stay away from that TV, turn off that computer, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, erase that app, or, you know, get rid of that mm-hmm. thing, that the thing that most often brings you to that. If there's a time of night that it usually happens, okay. Go to bed early, you know, you know, something, you know,
yeah.
little practical things that
yeah.
you can, it's a little bit like learning how not to drink, you know, if you've got a problem with drinking
mm-hmm.
or learning how not to overeat if you've got a problem with overeating. A lot of it, there's a lot of compulsion sometimes, and so it's easier to say that than to do that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But still to establish those habits, and you can't underestimate the value of a spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned one of the guys who had been able to overcome his behaviors. I remember listening to a guy in the group who liked to go to daily mass. And what he did, he for a time, he had the practice of putting in a jar, writing down numbers which represented the years of his life. And so before he made his walk down the block to daily mass, he would pick out at random one of those years of his life. And this was the year of life that he remembered and he prayed for. And he asked God's grace to cover.
Mm.
And some of those were formative years, and some of those years were years of sin, and some of those years were, you know, years of conversion and happiness and joy. But he lifted up that particularly. What a holy thing to
yeah.
do. I mean, I was just amazed at the creativity of that.
Uh-huh.
But it was a way of applying God's grace, you know, yeah. through his memory
yeah. yep.
And through his devotion. You know,
wouldn't you say, too, I mean, we have different understandings of communion between Protestants and Catholics, but I think Holy Communion is a powerful weapon against sin as well.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
That's our understanding, is
yep.
that Jesus meets you in that Holy Communion and you know, not only comforts you, but also there's a healing that, mm-hmm. that takes place. Yeah.
Has your experience been, I mean, does this, if someone has same-sex attraction, does this temptation ever go away?
Usually not. Mm-hmm. Usually not. It's for most people, it's a burden, it's a cross that really does not get lifted. I think that there's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. There's a spectrum. I mean, some guys talk about when they are practicing virtue, when they're living a sacrificial life, a service life, the temptations are lessened. You know, one guy would say that, you know, even for a while I'm starting to have heterosexual temptations. Mm-hmm. You know? Other guys would say, yeah, I've never had anything but a homosexual, you know, dream or thought or mm-hmm. temptation. So mm-hmm. it's a spectrum depending on how that thing is rooted in
Can
your heart.
Can married men go to courage?
Oh, yeah. We have married men who sometimes
I agree with you. People are all over the board. There's some people that have this struggle to the day they die. Yeah. There are other people that get married and have kids, you know. And
yeah, maybe still had that struggle. Right. It could be like, you know, like somebody who gets out of heavy drinking. You can be a dry drunk. I mean, mm-hmm. you can overcome the behavior, but in times of stress, you know, in times of trigger things, you can still be tempted.
Right.
So there's a broad range. And by the way, not all the guys in the Courage group are Catholics. Mm-hmm. We have guys who, it's probably not that many, but maybe 10% of the guys on the average mm-hmm. would be non-Catholic Christians.
Yep. Yeah. So let's talk about that. We got about 10 more minutes, but just let's kind of take a break here. If you're struggling with same-sex attraction, and let's say you're a Protestant, again, you just Google Restored Hope Network, and you'll see a map there, and you can see if they're in Minneapolis, there's a group called Outpost. But if you're a Catholic and want a Courage group, how do they find one of these groups?
Most people find the groups in the Twin Cities by first calling the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, the Family Life Office. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got a number there for that. Forgetting it right now. It's a 651-291 number.
Yeah,
4438. Yeah, yeah.
So if you're in the Twin Cities area, there's the number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if they're in? Because this is all over the country now. Our TV show. What if they're in Washington State or whatever? How do they find out?
You can Google the Courage RC.org website, the Courage International website, and they have resources and you know, regions where you can look and find the local Courage group mm-hmm. next to you.
Okay, so there you go, everybody. If you're around the country, CourageRC.org.
Yeah, CourageRC.
And see if there's a group near you.
Yeah.
All right, good. Jim, as you know, our culture has definitely changed on this issue. And when I was young, everybody was against homosexuality, Christian or not, because it's unnatural. And it's not right. But now, if you believe it's wrong, you're unnatural.
Yeah, I know, that's...
And so, I mean, as our culture has become more liberal on this issue now with homosexual marriage and the political arena, are people coming to Courage less, more? What's the answer to that?
Kind of more, actually.
More?
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of calls recently, and it's a small group. I mean, it's a minority of a minority, you know. But but it hasn't affected the local Courage group. In fact, we're a little bigger than we have been before.
Good. Yeah. You know, let's just make that point. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, "Don't be deceived. Do not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither immoral." Those would be heterosexuals having sex outside of marriage. "Neither immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, etc., will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God." That verse teaches that, yes, you can commit these sins, but repent and you'll be forgiven. Mm-hmm. But it also teaches if you live in that sin and don't repent, don't be deceived, you're not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And my concern is this. We have, like, this is the Twin Cities. There's two groups to help people out of homosexuality in the Twin Cities, Courage and then Outpost. And your group is kind of small, the Courage group is kind of small, and that's sad to me that so few people really are seeking the Lord in this area. And I why do you think that is? What's going on?
Well, we're kind of countercultural,
yeah.
You know, You know, for the courage group, just to be upfront about it, the goal of courage is not a healing of same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of courage is simply to walk with that person and to live chastely, kind of in the skin that you're in.
Yeah.
It takes, I think, a certain kind of maturity just to realize the value of walking with that struggle. And having a regular place to go, a regular source of fellowship that sort of becomes embedded in your lifestyle. It's a wonderful practice, but it takes a certain discipline,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
mm-hmm.
it's there.
And you know, Jesus said the way is narrow and few are they that find it. That's part of the issue.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How about women? Are there courage groups for women who struggle with lesbianism?
Well, yes, there are, but they're fewer, and somehow because of the dynamic that involved, more men seem to take an interest in the group. We have in the past locally had a ladies group. We do not have one now,
okay.
currently. We do invite the women to come to the group, but it's not that often that you do. It's essentially a men's group in practice,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But theoretically we're open to serving the female population that
okay.
way. Yeah.
Does it happen very often that someone comes to courage and then goes back into the homosexual lifestyle? Does that happen much or infrequently? Or
well, it does happen. I mean, we've had it happen, but most of the folks, even if there's a sliding back or a backsliding for a time,
most of them come back.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, listen, God bless your important work. We got 5 minutes. Anything
yeah.
else that you want to share from your heart on this issue? Because God bless you for doing this work. I mean, I don't think you get paid for this.
In heaven, I
guess. Ah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything else on your heart for this?
You know, probably, you know, to say that there's a difference between having the attraction that you discover in your heart, behaving according to the attraction, and your personal sense of identity. I think that's a key, you know, distinction that,
yeah.
that is important to make. If in my sense of identity, I feel that I'm a Catholic man or a heterosexual man, as you say, with a homosexual inclination,
yeah.
that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So if you identify with your sin, you've kind of thrown in the towel.
You kind of have, yeah, yeah. Our ultimate identity, obviously, there's many layers to it. I'm an Italian American. I'm an Irish American. I'm a male. I'm a female. I have this sexual, you know, attraction or that. But you know, ultimately, I'm a child of God.
Amen.
And I have a Heavenly Father that I'm accountable to,
mm-hmm.
and who has given me a plan of life,
mm-hmm.
and that I want to be faithful to and righteous with,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing that really gives me a sense of joy. You know, the world is filled with temptations of many sorts, you know, many kinds of thorns and weeds, you know, can choke off the seed in the Word of God, and our sexuality, no matter, you know, heterosexual or homosexual, can be one of those thorns and weeds that really that trap us and,
yeah.
and capture us and imprison us.
Yeah.
I think, personally,
because I had this struggle, and I think this is true for most homosexual men, somewhere early in life,
yeah.
I got the lie that I'm not as manly as other men are.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of looking
yeah.
for that whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's an early lie that Satan, I think, plants in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you grow, and so you have to fight that false identity
right.
with the
right.
truth of Scripture that I'm
right.
a new creature in Christ. I'm as manly as anyone else.
Right.
And the rest of this is a lie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, Jim, so again, everybody, let's look at this. You've got, if you're a Roman Catholic, call the Archdiocese, or let's put that on the screen again. If you're in the Twin Cities, here's the phone number for the local Courage Family Life Office, 651-291-4438. If you're outside Minnesota, you can go to their website, which is couragerc.org. If you're a Protestant or an evangelical, you just Google Restored Hope Network, and you'll see a map there, and you can see if there's help for you there. But Jim, thank you so much.
Thank
we
you,
sure
Tom.
Appreciate. And you know, in fact, Jim, if you don't mind, why don't you close us in prayer? Pray for anybody out there that's struggling
sure,
with this, would you?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I cherish your creative work in this world, and I thank you for every soul that knows that they are loved by you and cherished by you and precious in your eyes. And I thank you for making us mm-hmm. male and female. And I ask your blessing in the blood of your Son Jesus upon all of our hearts, and most especially about everyone who struggles in any way with their own sense of identity, their own sense of shame. I ask that you find fellowship and support for every single one of your children. Do not let us walk alone. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I ask that you allow us to experience delight in you and to experience the mutual delight of a child to a father. Mm-hmm. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you allow us to come to cherish and know your Son Jesus mm-hmm. and his Holy Word and his Holy Spirit. I ask that you give us freedom. And I ask that you bless us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks so much. And everybody,
you're welcome, Tom.
We got 1 minute, so I'm going to tell people,
okay.
If you go to pastorstudy.org, two S's, no apostrophe, pastorstudy.org, and you know someone that needs to see this show, this TV show and all of our TV shows are viewable for free at pastorstudy.org. So go there. Pray for our ministry if you would. If the Lord nudges you to support us financially, the more money that comes in, the more TV stations we add in the United States. So thank you everybody for watching, and we'll see you again next week on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.